you. Amen. To lift him up. In fact, why don't you just lift a hand? We've sang about it a couple times and just give him another praise from your heart before we go anywhere else. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy to me, your strength, your help. Hallelujah. You're a great God. You're greatly to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, if you're wondering where the ministerial staff is, they're all at General Conference. I know we didn't mention that, but keep that in your prayers, amen, throughout the rest of this week. Amen. They're hearing some good preaching tonight. I talked to my mom before the service, and she said that they were going to live stream conference at their church. I said, well, Mom, you could live stream me. I'm not sure that's happening right now. I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 10. Read seven verses there, familiar passage you've heard many times. I feel more to maybe preach a little bit tonight than so much teach. We'll talk about that in a bit. But Joshua chapter 10, beginning at verse 7, says this. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and he went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them at Azekah and at Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled before Israel, and they were going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah. And they died, and there were more which died with hailstones than they which the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon, and the sun stay still, and the moon stayed, and the people had avenged themselves. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day, and there was no day like it, that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Amen. Let's just ask God to help us tonight as we hear his word. Lord, we're thankful, Jesus, for what you have done and what you are doing, what you're doing in this place, God. And we ask, Lord, for your help tonight, for your touch upon our lives, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Know, God, that you are able. Thank you, Jesus, to do great things, to do great things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And you may be seated. Man, I said I felt a little bit more to preach tonight than to teach. I am going to stay with our theme. We've been looking all this month at miracles. God's been doing some great things, and so we're going to stay with that theme tonight. God is a miracle-working God, isn't he? Aren't you glad to know that? Man, we've studied it, we've heard about it, but not only have we talked about it, but we've seen it just recently. We see his miraculous power from the opening verses of the Bible where he spoke the worlds into existence to the final book where he creates a new heaven and a new earth. God is a miracle-working God. And sprinkled throughout this entire Bible, there are hundreds of cases where the supernatural intervened into the world of the natural, where the normal course of nature and what was supposed to happen just gets stopped by the power of God, and it interrupts the laws of physics as we know it, and God does something that is beyond what man can do. There are miracles that affect the physical world. We think about the Red Sea just parting and water standing up so that Israel can walk through on dry land. What a miracle. But God is a miracle-working God. There are miracles that they just defy the laws of nature, and Jesus comes walking on the water to his disciples. We can't do that, and man can't do it. It has no way of doing something like that. But yet, God can, because he's a God of miracles. There were miracles where Jesus stood up in a boat and said, peace be still, and he calmed the storm. Man can't even figure out when the storms are coming. Try to predict it. Try to come up with it. They sure can't go out and say, stop. They can report a hurricane, but they can't stand on the coast and say, turn around, go the other way. and of Elijah praying down fire from heaven, of an axe head that did swim, the Bible says. There are miracles of healings from Nahum the leper being cleansed in the Jordan after dipping seven times, to the lame man that sat at the gate beautiful, to the many, many times that Jesus healed the sick and touched people, raised the dead, those kind of things. There are miracles of provision, such as the time the woman was instructed to pour out oil into the vessels that she borrowed from her neighbor, and she poured from her vessel and poured until every vessel in the house was full. Man looks at that and say, well, that can't happen. You can't take a half liter or a half a quarter or whatever of oil and fill up jug after jug. But God says, if I say you can, you can. He's a miracle working God. There are miracles of provision where Peter had to pay his taxes. And God said, well, just go fishing. Well, shouldn't I be working? I got to earn some money. He said, go fishing. So he goes fishing, and the first fish he pulls up has a coin in his mouth. And Jesus said, now take that and go pay your taxes, Peter. We got a few months of tax time. I don't know if I'm recommending that tonight. I'm just telling you, he's a God of miracles. And we look at others, water turned to wine, multiplication of loaves and fishes, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, Dagon toppled in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, manna to feed a multitude in the wilderness, water coming from a rock, and the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of salvation. We could go on, couldn't we? Truly, God is a miracle working God. I said, God is a miracle working God. Now, here's the thing. All of those examples I gave you came from the Bible, but there are literally millions more miracles, untold millions that happened because the days of miracles have never ceased. Many, if not all of us here, can point to something or to someone and say, I've witnessed the miraculous. I've seen God do it in my life. I've seen God do it in the life of someone I know. Just this past weekend, Sister Walker told of the miracles in her life and in her family. And several have testified here of miracles last Wednesday night. He's a miracle working God. And while we rejoice in the great things that God does, and they defy scientists and baffle doctors, but I want to talk to us tonight about a different kind of miracle, a different kind of miracle. God gave me this message a few weeks ago. I knew I was going to have this, and I was trying to think of a Bible study to do, and I was kind of coming, they kind of left it open so that I didn't have to follow the theme, but I knew that we were talking about miracles, and God laid this on my heart, and I'll tell you tonight that Sister Walker confirmed this Sunday morning, but I want to talk to you about this, the miracle in the fight. The miracle in the fight. You see, there are times when God does things that just catch us all by surprise, doesn't he? He does something and we say, wow, where'd that come from? How did that happen? I don't understand. He just steps into our situation, or he steps into something we've been praying about it, seeking God or whatever it is that we come in, and God just steps in and does something, and we're left astounded. The doctors can't explain it. We can't explain it. All we know is that God did a work. I think of the man in the Bible that Jesus healed his eyes, and he was blind, and many knew him from birth. And when Jesus touched him, and they begin to question him about it and say, well, what happened? Do you know who it was? What was the guy like? Could you tell us about him? And all the man could say is, I can't answer any of those questions, but all I can tell you is I was blind and now I see. And sometimes those kind of things happen and we say, I can't tell you how it worked out. God did it. He did the miracle, and I can't answer that. He steps in and changes it. What we were struggling with is gone. All things become new, and I just love it when God does that, don't you? When God just works something out. I remember, I've never testified this in our church, and I used to when I was young, and my sister said, do you talk about that all the time? And I probably stopped talking about it, but I remember very vividly as a young child being very sick. I was running a high fever. I couldn't get out of bed. Just was not feeling that. I'd get out and just so dizzy I'd have to lay back down. And I told my mom, can you call our pastor? And we lived in a small town and he worked just a few blocks away and said, you know, and he said, when I get on my lunch break, I'll come over and I'll pray for you. And I can remember, oh, I wish he'd get here because I feel so bad. He came and he laid hands on me, began to pray, and immediately the fever broke. And he left, and I went outside to play. I remember that. Yes, I believe in miracles. And you can say, well, that's cool. No, it's not coincidence. God touched my life. But there are also many times that God does a different kind of miracle. And that's what I want to talk to us about tonight. Sometimes God allows us to continue in the fight, but he gives us the strength to make it through. Now, we like to say, God, just get rid of the fight. We like to say, God, just take care of the situation. God, just do the miracle so I don't have to face it anymore. But sometimes he said, no, I'm going to give you the strength that you can make it through that fight. And he allows us to continue in the fight so that and gives us the strength to do it. And my question is, can you say that that is anything less than a miracle? Have you ever looked back at something you went through and say, well, it's a miracle I got out of that one. It's a miracle I made it through. And in the time just preceding our text that we read earlier in the book of Joshua, I'm not going to go there to read it, but preceding that, Joshua had experienced the kind of miracle that we still talk about today. With just a shout, the mighty walls of Jericho came down. That was a miracle. You read about how those walls were 21 feet thick. Big, tall walls that they could race their chariots around, houses built into the walls that people could live in. We're not talking just a little, set of 8-inch wide bricks. It was a massive wall. And just by walking around it at the command of God and then shouting unto him, the walls, the Bible said, fell flat. Just days before that, the children of Israel had walked across the Jordan on dry ground. God had done another mighty miracle in their life. And now we find them just a few chapters later in another predicament, because as he conquered Jericho and then eventually conquered Ai, and they begin to move through the land of Canaan at the time, as they begin to go through there, the other Canaanites begin to hear about the great exploits, and they said, you know what, we've got to do something to stop him. So five kings came together, the Bible tells us, and they gathered their army against Gilgal. Why Gilgal? That's because the Gibeonites lived there, and the Gibeonites had made a pledge with Joshua, and they had agreed they would stay in the land, and they had made it a pact and an agreement. And so as these kings begin to come toward Gilgal, the king of Gilgal sent out a plea to Joshua, and he said, you said you would be on our side. You said we would help. Well, now we need help. And so Joshua, the Bible said, ascended in verse 7 from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men. And so they headed toward Gilgal so they could fight this battle. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. I've delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. What God was doing was saying, Joshua, I want to put a promise in your heart. I want to put something in your heart that you can hold on to as the times get tough. Aren't you thankful for the promises that God has placed in your life and put in your heart before you ever face the battle? There are times we come, we hear the word of God, and it speaks to us and say, God, I'm just going to hold on to that, not knowing that maybe the next day or the next week we're going to face a situation and we say, Lord, you know what? Just a week ago you told me this. And so God gave him the promise. He said, I am going to go and I am going to stand before thee. He said, fear them not. I have delivered them into my hand, and there shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now here's the thing. On another occasion, God had sent an angel that killed 185,000 Assyrians during the middle of the night. Now that's the kind of battles we like to fight, right? We'll go to bed, the angel takes care of it, you get up the next morning, the battle's over. Not this time. Joshua was going to have to fight. And fight he did. The Bible says this, he went up, came upon them suddenly, and he went up from Gilgal all night. In other words, all night long, they're fighting. All night long, they're at war. All night long, they're battling. And the Bible says, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth to Beth-Horan and smote them to Azekah and to Makkedah. Some miracles take fighting through the night. Sometimes they're not just instantaneous. Sometimes deliverance doesn't come in a moment. Sometimes it really is the darkest before the dawn. Sometimes we can't see the answer no matter how hard we try. We don't see the end of the battle, but we're holding on to the promise because he said, Joshua, I'm going to deliver them into your hand. And so he fought them at Gilgal and he chased them out of the town. but God was with him all the way. Aren't you thankful that when you face those situations and when you face those trials and you face those things, you're not fighting alone, church. God is with you. And can I tell you, that is a miracle that you can stand on and say, you know what? God is with me all the way. I like the way this is written here. It said, Joshua came upon them, he fought, and it says, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter. Now here's the thing, the Lord wasn't physically slaying them, Joshua and his armies were. I think it's important to understand that. The Lord didn't chase them along the way, all the way to the next town. Joshua and his armies did. So how does it say the Lord did it? It's because the Lord was with him. Can I say, as long as the Lord is with you, you may not see the victory yet, but it's a miracle because God is working on your side. And he will give you the strength, and he'll give you the grace, and he'll give you the power to overcome and to live and to make it through the night. Bible says, and it came to pass that they fled. Now here's what I like. Here's the part we like as far as a miracle is concerned. It came to pass as they fled before Israel, and they were going down toward Beth Horan. So they're running away. They're trying to get away from Israel. And as that happens, the Lord begins to cast great stones from heaven upon them. So great hailstones start falling on the army. Now we see a miracle that we can say, wow, that's a great miracle. And it said, in fact, more died from the hailstones than they that the children of Israel slew. Now here's what I want you to notice next. He's chasing them through the night. He's slaying them as he goes. God's helping out with some hailstones. And now it's getting daylight. And the battle's not over. You know, sometimes we have to look at what God is doing and just realize you're not fighting alone. In fact, when dawn broke, the battle is still gone. Yes, it was still going on. It was a new day, but it was a new day to fight. And sometimes we think we made it through the night, and when the dawn comes, it's all going to get better. And instead, we find we're just living to fight another day. But don't give up, child of God. Did Joshua get discouraged? Did he look at the miracle of the hailstones and say, well, Lord, why is it still going on? Why did you stop short? Why didn't you just kill all of them so we could go home? You ever get a miracle, or you had a miracle, or you had a little bit of a miracle, you might think, and say, well, God, when are you going to do the rest of it? That might have been what Joshua was thinking. But look, he did not get discouraged. Did he walk away thinking, well, the miracle of deliverance isn't mine today? No, he understood, I've got to keep on fighting until the victory is complete. And God, if you're not going to smite all the enemies for her, then God, I'm going to depend on you, and you're going to help me through the fight. In fact, so confident was he that God was with him that God spoke directly to God in the presence of everybody. The Bible says Joshua spake to the Lord. Now that's faith. We like to speak to the Lord. It says this, he spoke in the day when the Lord delivered them before the children of Israel. In other words, he didn't go back in somewhere meekly in his closet and say, God, do you see what's going on? These men are getting tired. And we've been fighting a long time, and yeah, I know you're helping us, but the battle's not over, and could you do something to help? No, he went up right in front of everyone. He said, I'm going to talk to the Lord right now. Sun, stand still. Moon, stay where you're at. This guy's crazy. That's never happened before. You can't stop the sun and the moon. I think if I were going to do that, I'd take the other option and say, Lord, could you do it, please? And then when it stops, come out and say, you know what, I just prayed that and God stopped it. Yeah, sure you did. Faith said, you know what, you said you're going to be with me, so God, be with us. We need your help. And he cried out to him. So confident was he that he spoke directly to God in the presence of everyone. What great faith. God, if you're not going to vanquish my enemies, then I can ask you to make a way so I can do it. You're going to give me the strength. How could God ignore faith like that? And the sun stood still. I had hard time reading that earlier. You all say that. Sun stood still, right? Thank you. And the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves. And he said there was never a day like that before because the Lord listened to the voice of man. Now, look at that passage again. It said, and there was no day like it before that or after that. The Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Yet, when you look at it, the Lord didn't fight, did he? He just said, I'll stop the sun, I'll stop the moon. You can have a long day till you get the work done. But he provided a way for Israel to fight. I'm talking about the miracle in the fight. Aren't you thankful for a God that will just stop in and say, you know what, I'm going to be with you. And you may not see the answer instantaneous like I did with the Assyrians or like it happened on this occasion, but I'm going to give you the ability to win through the fight. You see, God often works this way. Some years earlier, Joshua was in another battle, only this time he wasn't in charge. At least he wasn't the general, if you will. He wasn't in charge. Moses was still alive, and Moses had led the people. And although Moses was too old to fight, yet he wasn't too old to participate. Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 17, it said, Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, he said, I'm going to stand on a hill with the rod of God in my hand. He said, so I'm going to do that. So Joshua did as Moses said it to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, and you've heard the story, that as Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. But when his hand got tired and he had to let it down for a bit, then Amalek prevailed. And he'd lift his hand up and Joshua would prevail. And he'd get tired and he'd put it. Aaron and Hur looked over and said, you know what? Do you see a pattern here? Something's going on. Let's help him out. And so they said, Moses, sit down here on this rock. And they sat him down and they stood either side and held up his hand. Put it under him, sat there on, they stayed up his hands. The one on one side, the one on the other, his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And the Bible says Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The miracle in the fight. God, why didn't you just take care of Amalek? I am, but I'm doing it through Joshua. Now, I don't know what the mechanics of what was happening on the ground happened as Moses lifted his. You ever think about that? Every time the hands were up, Joshua was winning. Every time they're down, Joshua was losing. Now, does that mean when he lifted his hand, God just empowered Joshua with supernatural strength? I don't know. Maybe that happened. Maybe when they were raised, he just weakened the Amalekites. Maybe there were unseen angels that were fighting as long as... I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. We won't know this side of glory. But what we do know is that God gave the miracle in the fight. Can I tell you tonight, keep on fighting. We said God's a miracle working God. We've heard great things and maybe you're looking and say, well, I haven't got my miracle yet. You know what? God's doing a miracle because you're still living for him and you're still serving him and you've still got faith and your confidence is in him. Can I say that is a miracle? Because God is with you. I don't know if anyone understood the miracle in the fight quite like Paul did. You know, some have faced rough seas. Paul faced a storm so severe that all hope was lost. Seasoned sailors lost heart as their efforts failed, as they begin to look and say, you know what, let's just give up. There's nothing we can do. We've thrown off the cargo. We've strengthened the ship. We've done everything that we know to do. And Luke, who was with Paul on the journey, writes this in Acts 27:20. He said, and there was neither sun nor stars, and many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us. He said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You ever been in a situation like that? I haven't seen the sun. I haven't seen the stars. Everything is dark around me. I don't see a way out of this. Many days, there's no small storm going on in my life. And it's just a great thing, and it just keeps hammering me in this. And he said, in all hope that we should be saved is taken. There's nothing left to do. We've done everything we can. It talked about they banded the ship. They put ropes around it and tied it up so that it wouldn't break apart. They threw off the cargo. They tightened up the sail, did everything they could. And they said, we have no other options and all hope is gone. And we look at that and say, where is the miracle? Where was the voice like the disciples had when they woke up Jesus and say, don't you care that we perish? And he said, oh, don't worry about it. Peace be still. And the storm is over with. Why didn't that happen? Where was Jesus come walking on the water in the midst of it and say, fear not, for I'm with me? Did Luke cry out, don't you care? Where was God in this storm? You know where God was? He was with Paul. Because after a long abstinence, Paul stands forth in the midst of them, and here's what he's saying. And the winds are blowing, it's dark, so you can't see anything. Ship's about to fall apart, everything going on, everybody's scared to death for their life. And he said, I exhort you, be of good cheer. Yeah. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the things the devil's been doing all week, and you don't know what's going on in my life. And just be a good cheer. Praise God. And here's what he said. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And here's why. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whose I serve, saying, fear not. And in the midst of the storm, and in the midst of everything that's going on in your life, can I tell you, the angel of God is standing by your side. Be of good cheer. Don't you see the storm? Don't you understand we're about to die? Was Paul expecting a miracle to end the storm? Was Paul going to go to the bow of the ship and yell, peace be still, and it all going to be over with? No, that wasn't going to happen this time. It wasn't that kind of miracle, but he was believing that no matter what, God, I don't know how it's going to happen, but you told me we're going to be safe, and I'm a good cheer because God is on my side, and I'm going to make it through this storm. The key was to stay with the ship. Can I tell you, if you can stay with the ship through the storm, you're going to come out all right. When everything looks so bad in your life and you don't know where to turn and what to do, and you look and say, I need the miracle, and you're still living for God. He's with you. He's by your side, and you don't know what else is going to happen, but stay with the ship. In fact, some of them wanted to get away and some of them wanted to jump ship. And Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers that were there, he said, except they stay with the ship, they cannot be saved. Abide. And they live. Leave, and they die. Now here's the thing. The storm never let up. I'm talking about the miracle in the fight. Sometimes the storm never lets up. I'd like to say that a miracle is going to happen every time and the storm goes away, but the Bible makes it clear enough that sometimes it never lets up. The ship ran aground to where it couldn't move anymore, and because it was stuck on the front end, the waves beating the back end, it smashed the ship completely to pieces. And when that happened, they were right close to the shore, and they called out, those that you can swim, go ahead and swim. We're right there at the shore. And the rest of them, the Bible says in Acts, it said some on boards, some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And I don't know how you're going to make it into the promised land, whether it's going to be swimming, whether it's going to be marching in, or whether it's going to be holding on to what little faith you've got. But stay with the ship. And you're going to make it. Hardly a miracle like we might have expected, but a miracle nonetheless. So tonight, we find ourselves in different situations. Some are poised to receive the miracle that is going to change your circumstances completely. I hope that's you. I hope that's me. I hope God is just going to step in and like that, it's all going to be over with. However, I also understand that some of us are going to have to fight and fight. And I can't tell you who's going to have to fight and who's going to walk through with a miracle that's instantaneous. Let me give you one quick example from the Bible. John the Baptist preached to many, many people. He baptized in the Jordan. He reached out, had a great multitude that followed him. And then he gets in trouble because he's telling Herod, you're a sinner. Herod throws him in prison. And then Herod's wife says, you know what, I think you ought to just decapitate him. I want his head on a charger. And that eventually happens. But while he's in prison, he's wondering, and he begins hearing reports about Jesus and his ministry. And he hears how that Jesus, the multitudes are all now following him. And he said, you know what? He sent some of his disciples that had come to visit him, evidently. And he said, go to Jesus. He said, I want to know, is he the one that has come, or are we going to look for another? And, of course, Jesus just told him, he said, well, tell him what you've seen. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and all these things are happening. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And then he said this, and blessed is he who is not offended in me. It would have been easy for John to become very bitter and say, Lord, I paved the way. I was the forerunner that paved the way for your ministry, and now I'm in jail, and where are you? Don't get offended, John. You just keep believing and trusting. Yeah, he ended up losing his head, but I'll tell you what, he's got an eternal reward. And we'll forever remember the words of John the Baptist. Some of us are going to have to fight. I told you earlier that Sister Walker confirmed my message this last weekend. How? You heard it. She told how God touched her when she was 17 years old. Not expected to live, and God touched her life. And then he said, I'm going to heal you of this, but you are going to spend your life in weakness. And we like the miracle where God touches and you never have a problem again, right? But what he has done is given her the miracle in the fight. And I'm sure if she were here today, she'd tell you, I'm still fighting, but God's still working and God's still doing miracles. Some of you have been fighting for many years. You've struggled with sickness. You've battled with circumstances you can't control. You faced adversities when others seem to have no troubles. And I can't answer the whys tonight. I can't tell you why. I can't tell you who or how it all works out. But what I can tell you is that your faithfulness is a miracle. And like Paul, some of you have ridden the ship of life through many storms, and you feel that the end is imminent and your boat is about to break apart. You've not seen the light of day for a long time, but the angel of God is with you. Stay with the ship and you'll be saved, and he will give you the miracle in your fight. Let's stand tonight. Aren't you thankful for the faithfulness of God? Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop believing for the miracle that he could do it right now, but if he doesn't choose that, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up, because I know who my God is, don't you? Why don't you give him a great praise right now? Hallelujah. No matter what you're facing, why don't you just say, Lord, I'm going to make it, Lord, because you're on my side. I'm going to make it, Lord, because you're my king. You're my strength. You're my very present help in time of need. Hallelujah. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're right there beside me, God. When I don't see an answer, you're my savior. You're my strength. You're my strong tower. Hallelujah. You're the one that I run to. Hallelujah. You're my God. Hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. I praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.